Sandra, how many fingers am I holding up? Oh, yes, praise God. That's awesome. Sandra had her eyes worked on recently, and so she is seeing with more clarity as well. So every third Sunday, we have a different testimony. And if you have a testimony you would like to share, it doesn't have to be like anyone else's. Everyone is an individual. But talk to me, and we can work on that. And you can come and share your testimony as well. So I want to tell you a story. When I was a paramedic in Colorado, and this is about 30 years ago, I had an emergency call that I remember quite well to this day. And the call for help came in the middle of the night. It was a teenage boy who was in my youth group. And he had been on the big, tall, white cement grain elevators that are in almost every little town. You know what I'm talking about? Those big, white, super tall cement elevators. And he had been on that when he slipped and fell. And this boy's name was Jared, and he had been with his friend, and they thought they would climb this elevator in the middle of the night because no one would be awake to stop them, so they could just go in and do this rebellious thing. And so I got the call, and I'm putting on my uniform. And I remember just crying out to God, "Dear God, I can't go on this call. I can't go on this call. It's going to break my heart. He is not going to have survived this. And I can't face what I will find when we find Jared." And it's still emotional. 30 years later, it's still emotional for me. I loved him as a youth group teacher loves their students. And I saw him as precious, not as the child who had done something rebellious and stupid in the middle of the night. And I prayed so desperately for the mile and a half in driving into town. And when I arrived at the scene, my coworker saw the look on my face and said, no, Wendy, he's alive. And I remember my mind just swirled. I was like, you don't fall from an elevator and survive. So what do you mean that he's alive? And when he had fallen off the elevator, he didn't fall to the ground. You know those big metal round grain bins that are sometimes very close to the white cement elevator? Well, he had actually landed on that. And it was quite a long fall. But the grain bin was empty, and so when he landed on it, it caved, and that cushioned his fall. And the only injuries that he had was he fell so hard that it broke his liver in two, and he broke his ankle. But he was alive, and we took him to the hospital, and he recovered fully from his injuries, and he was fine. Now, why am I telling you this horrible, horrible, horrible story this morning? Because I was thinking that rescue looks different depending on which side you are during the rescue. Jared never knew my anguish that I felt on that night. He only knew that people rescued him and took him to the hospital. And he never knew that huge ache in my heart when I learned that he needed help. And that got me to thinking that maybe we only see our side, not the perspective of Jesus, when we need help, when we need rescued. Now, Jesus sees himself as our good shepherd, and he knows his mission. Now, our scripture this morning is John 10, 27 and 28. John 10, 27. I only give you 27, but we're going to read 28 as well. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, this verse reveals Jesus' great love for us. And he trusts that we will listen to his voice and we will follow it. And he is possessive of us. And he does not want us to be taken from him. From the eyes of our rescuer, Jesus, we are viewed not as worthless because of our sin, but as priceless treasures that are in need of deliverance. He sees us with immense compassion, actively intervening to pull us from the darkness, guilt, and spiritual death, and he offers us eternal life. He sees our true condition. Apart from him, Jesus sees people as lost sheep, valuable, yet with hope. He sees the underlying spiritual war and the grip of evil on our hearts. He will search for us and carry us back to the safety of the flock. You know, I think it's interesting that sometimes when we feel at our lowest moment, that's when we want to skip church. Have you ever noticed that? I'm just going to stay in bed, I'm going to put the covers over my head, and I'm going to skip church. But Jesus knows we need him, and that we need the rest of the flock around us. We need each other. Jesus sees with compassion. He is not distant. He is near the brokenhearted and those with crushed spirits. His eyes filled with tears for Jerusalem and at the tomb of Lazarus, revealing a heart that deeply feels our pain. He sees the path to freedom. Jesus sees the heart's need for righteousness. He views the cross as the necessary, loving rescue from the judgment we deserve and the grip of the enemy. He sees our potential. Jesus sees the broken, like Saul on the road to Damascus, and transformed them into the vessels for his glory. But you know, I think sometimes we read Jesus' feelings wrong. Sometimes I think that we have prayed for something and we are not getting it. We're not hearing an answer for our prayers. And we think that God does not care or that God was not generous, when in fact, maybe God was just protecting us. Maybe we read that wrong. Or maybe there was a time when you really were struggling with something. I mean, really struggling. And you think God is not hearing you or seeing you, when in fact, God loves you so much and he's just strengthening you. He's strengthening you for the future, for things that you cannot see yet. And in Jesus' greatest rescue, we might have understood what Jesus was feeling there too. So Jesus is hanging on the cross and he is close to death. And Jesus cries out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so some speculate that Jesus himself wanted to be rescued from what he was doing for us, or that Jesus felt abandoned by God the Father. And I want to tell you that I absolutely do not believe in that any of those things are true. I do not believe it at all. Jesus did not falter. Jesus is on the cross knowing very well the mission he was to complete to rescue all of us. He did not falter. He did not doubt his Father. Absolutely not. Jesus was taking a teaching moment to explain what is happening. He can't preach from the cross. I mean, he can barely breathe hanging up there. So he's not going to give us a whole sermon. But he is directing his beloved followers to a place to explain this further. So Psalms 22:1. That is a psalm of David. And it's a foreshadowing of Jesus' mission. And verse 1 starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound familiar? Jesus is directing you to the psalm. These are the words of David that were written 1,000 years before Jesus' crucifixion. And let's skip down to verse 16. So we're in Psalms 22, starting at verse 16. And I'll just read this to you. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me. They pierced my hands and my feet, and all of my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Have you heard that before? They cast lots for his garments. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword. Rescue me from the mouths of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly, and I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All of the descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all of the descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly before those who fear you. I will fulfill my vow. Jesus knew he would fulfill his vow. And he is praising the Father. He is not saying that the Father left him alone. He is praising him with all of the strength that he has left. And he wants you to have hope and to understand that he knew what he was doing. And he would go through it anyway. Jesus is definitely praising God, not questioning him. Please read that over and over. It's so very powerful. Jesus did not doubt his mission and his sacrifice for us. He was explaining it to us again, even as he hung on the cross until his last breath. What a rescue. It's a rescue we don't even deserve, and he gave it to us anyway. Now, there is a calling for you from your rescuer. And I have a couple points that I wanted to say. Trust in the rescue. Fix your eyes on Jesus and move away from the fear into faith. Recognize that he is active in your storms. Jesus has not left you, regardless of how you feel. You know, going back to the disciples in the boat, they panicked in the storm, and Jesus was right there. He knew right where they were, and he knew what they needed. And the same is true for us. He knows right where we are, each of us. Repent. Acknowledge your need for a Savior. Allow him to replace all of the sin with his goodness. Let go of the ugliness. Oh, sometimes we want to hold on to the ugliness, and I don't know why. I guess it's the human nature in us. But when we repent, it frees us in such a beautiful way. And the stress and the ache, they just melt away when we repent and just trust in him. My third point, I think, is to live as rescued people. Live is that we are those that are rescued from darkness. We are called to be worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit and walking in the light of his love. Your rescue is your testimony, and you can share it with others. Jesus is the ultimate rescuer who promises to never leave or forsake those he has saved, delivering us from pressures and struggles and future condemnation. Can you even imagine how much he loves you? He came to earth to view life as man. And he had all the emotions that we have here. He loved, he was tempted, he felt sadness and death. He felt all those emotions without sin. And by being sinless, he was able to be the perfect sacrificial lamb, paying the ultimate price for our sins and reconciling us for eternity. This week, I challenge you to look at your relationship with Jesus from his view. During your Bible studies, think about how Jesus felt or how he saw the situation. Think about how Jesus views your actions and how he hears your words. Remember, Jesus gives us grace and forgiveness, but he also wants to show us the path he has for us. And as you look at the scriptures through Jesus' eyes, I think your relationship with him will deepen. And next week, I want to talk about Psalms 22, 23, and 24. And what that's symbolic of. And this is something that my husband actually taught me quite a lot about. And it's quite a special teaching. So next week, I really hope that you'll be here. Bring a friend. We are going to have beautiful children doing a wonderful skit. We asked Quentin this morning if he knew what a play was, and he said no. So we're starting from the beginning, and it's going to be absolutely fun. So try and be here next week. Next week is Palm Sunday, and it's going to be a beautiful journey next Sunday.